Hey, everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. Definitely summertime up here, so it's kind of nice.
Yes, it is. And we've got a ton of news today to go through and some best practices along with some stuff that's going on in Blueberry and some support questions. No interview today. So you have an opportunity if you want to be on the show just to drop us an email, let us know, tell us your story. And otherwise, we're going to start filling it with other stuff, which is okay as well. So, Mike, in the news here, Podcast Academy made a big change. They're not requiring the letter anymore, the recommendation letter.
Yeah, they just want to, you know, names and emails of a couple of members or luminaries in the podcast industry to vouch for you, and instead of a letter of recommendation. So that made it a lot easier to join.
Well, I guess I made the cut. I think maybe you did too. Yep. My approval came through yesterday. And so now I guess I'm a member of the Academy. So that sounds quite distinguished. And welcome to the Academy, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I got mine, I think, the day after I applied, a couple of days ago. So
yeah. So
did you get a call? You were on my list.
No one called me. So it must be
Rob was on my list too. So
probably Rob vouched for you or whatever. So that's going to get a little old for Rob. So when you go apply for the Podcast Academy, just put Rob Greenlee's name in on everything. Now you can put Mike or I's name in. We'll be happy to vouch for you as well. We may, if we don't know you, we may want to look at your show, but I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But hey, you know something, Mike, okay, so you're not going anywhere, but hypothetically, if I said, Mike, today's your last day. Thank you for being with the company. We appreciate your service. And I made you unemployed. Would you get upset? Would you want to come and try to claim the Podcast Insider as your show?
No. And that would be silly. I mean, come on, that's a company show.
Right. So two hosts from the Nod host want their show back from Spotify and Gimlet. And The Verge actually made this out a little bit worse than it sounded, but it does have some connotations. But The Verge basically said that the Nod host told Spotify and Gimlet, I want my show back. And they're not getting it back.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is they signed the contract. They, you know, when they pitched the show to Gimlet put up the money, and Spotify put up the money to, you know, have a staff and do all the production and all that stuff. And, you know, that may be part of why it's successful. You know, who knows whether or not they could have gone on their own and done all right. But, you know, they paid for it. It's their show. You know, your hired gun as a host when you do that kind of thing.
Unless you have in your contract explicit rights to take the show and the feed with you when you leave. But this goes back to a point now where, and again, I don't know the circumstances. Do you know the circumstances of this, of why did Gimlet just not opt to renew the show, or what was the,
exactly sure what the deal was, but yeah, the show got canceled somehow, or, you know, some reason, whether the host decided they wanted to leave or if the company decided they wanted it to go away, you know, either way, like I said, you signed the contract, so be careful when you sign a contract with somebody.
Right. And we've seen this happen again and again and again and again with hosts losing their shows because they weren't thinking during that contract negotiation, what happens when we break up and we're not happy with one another? So it also goes back to the simple fact, again, something that we continue to talk about, that I've continued to talk about for 15 years, own your feed.
Right. We talked about that last week. Yeah. A lot of the show, it was about, you know, own your stuff.
Yeah. So here we go again. It's just You know, and people don't beat up on me too much anymore when I tell them that. So people used to really say, oh, it's not a big deal. Well, you know, it is. So anyway, that, so just understand too, the Verge article doesn't fully understand. And again, there's a contract. Gimlet's not doing anything without a contract. And you should have a lawyer, someone that's a entertainment lawyer.
Well, the way they produce shows, it takes a lot of staff and money and all that stuff to do the type of shows that they're pulling off over there. And, you know, so, you know, they've got some skin in the game for sure.
Yep. So moving on here, you know, we were going to launch the Blueberry University this year. We had thought about, of course, you know, COVID hit. So that kind of ended our ability to really do that effectively the way we wanted to do it. But Podcast Movement has announced their own university, and it's called University. It's at university.podcastmovement.com. So I guess they're having something on July 14th.
Yeah, they're going to have a conference. I forget what they called it. What did I put in the notes there? A shift conference on July 14th, and it's free to everybody. And the university.podcastmovement.com thing kind of looks like a, you know, fancy chat type service. And, you know, it's a community website where you can, you know, share stuff. And, you know, it's kind of neat. I don't know what's powering it, but looks pretty nice. I joined up yesterday just to check it out.
Awesome. So next up, the BBC, they're starting a new unit for podcasting. Of course, BBC's been podcasting since the very beginning. They were with us in almost from day one back in mid-04 when they jumped into this. So BBC's launched a new creative development unit that's focused on podcasting. So sounds like they're doubling down.
Yeah, it's good. They're going to have the, you know, thing's going to be based in Bristol, I guess. So it is actually a physical office and probably a bunch of staff and whatnot. I don't know if they moved anybody from other parts of the company or whatever, but good on them. You know, BBC puts out some good stuff over there. When I lived over in Europe, it was the go-to place.
So Google Podcast, though, their creative program is taking applications, and this news has been out a few days. But what's the story behind the creator program?
Yeah, it's similar to like the YouTube creator program, I'm pretty sure. At least that's the way it's sort of described. But, they pick a few shows and help them get started, you know, and it's focused mainly on Google Podcasts, obviously. But
I think there's some money involved, too, right? They get some money, some financial help.
Yeah, it looks like up to $12,000 in funding that they can use for their productions, and it's
goes a long ways.
Oh heck yeah! You know, exactly. You know, you hire a team like our Blueberry Pro team there, I'm sure that would go quite a ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And matter of fact, it's kind of interesting because it is almost what our Blueberry team helps podcasters launch. And that's exactly what they do. So I think that if you're not familiar with Blueberry Pro, go to blueberrypro.com and check it out. But yeah, that money would go a long ways for sure. So Swellcasting, it's interesting that you have this as an article because I got an email from them this morning. I haven't looked at the app yet, but have you looked at the app at all, Mike?
Oh yeah, I've been playing with it this morning. That was, I got an email as well. So disclosure, they approached us to check it out and I did. And I think it's pretty cool. It's kind of a Twitter-like thing for audio. And this has kind of been tried before. Audio Boom, which is a hosting company now, but they started out doing something very similar to this as Audio Boo. Do you remember them?
Yeah, that's been a long time ago.
Yeah, well, the time might be right now. I think maybe Audio Boo is ahead of its time a little bit. I remember Leo Laporte used to do the Audio Boos, and it was quite interesting. You know, it's kind of little, you know, 2 to 5 minute, you know, things, and it's not really podcasting per se.
Right.
But, it's kind of cool. I've been playing with the app and it's kind of two way as well. So when you make a comment, it's not a textual comment. You make a comment in audio.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a conversation. So I think it's pretty slick. It's worth checking out.
All right. Awesome. Let's talk about the Latino podcast listener report. And I did not read this, but just the headline I saw was that Latinos are listening to podcasts more than that. Their numbers are way up.
Yeah. According to Edison Research, they had their listener report for Latinos. I guess I don't know what that means exactly, whether it was just, you know, Latin countries or, you know, in the U.S. or what. But yeah, it looks like 45% of the U.S. Latinos age 18 plus have ever listened to a podcast, which I think is a little bit above the total average for the U.S. But it says 25% of Latinos in the U.S. Okay, so in the U.S., 25% are, you know, podcast listeners on a regular basis.
Right.
Which is definitely more than the average, I think. And, you know, we see that, you know, in our numbers, too. You know, you look at Brazil for, you know, totally not, you know, I mean, I guess that wouldn't be Spanish, obviously, but, you know, Brazil seems to, people listen to podcasts a lot in Brazil. And I wonder if that's, you know, I don't know if that's some sort of cultural thing or what, but yeah, it's great.
Well, Mike, Macs never crash, right?
Never.
Never. I'm crashed. So, yeah. So you go ahead I'm trying to recover the PC here. Go ahead with our next headline.
Okay. Well, kind of like that Verge article that we started out with. A lot of new hosts coming to rather large podcasts. I got a couple stories here. NPR's Invisibilia, which is a fairly popular show. Been around 3, 4, 5 years, I guess. And they're getting brand new hosts. They're coming, you know, they're revamping the show completely. And it'll be two new hosts because some of them left Chicago Public Media, which was the production company behind it. So anyway, very good. And then ESPN, their ESPN Daily podcast is going to be hosted by Pablo Torre, and he's announced as their new host for that one.
Well, there's a name that I don't know. Of course, I don't follow sports stuff too much. Do you know, are you a sports guy, Mike? Do you know who
that is? No, not really, but I just thought that was interesting, you know, because I know the ESPN Daily show there is fairly popular. So, you know, they announced that he's going to be taking over in August. So he's going to. He was a commentator for quite a while with them and just signed a multi-year contract extension and will be the main host of the Daily, or the awesome. ESPN Daily.
All righty.
And I think that's it for the news. All right, well, best practices. This one's kind of simple, but I think it's really important. You got to make sure that your audience can make contact with you on your website. You know, so many times we go to a website to check out somebody's podcast. There's no email address. There's no contact form. Sometimes there's no links to social. There's no way to contact the podcaster.
It is amazing how many times, you know, it's and oftentimes we'll go to our database and look up an RSS feed and then maybe, if we're lucky, find an email address. But definitely from everything I've seen so far is so many podcasters for some reason do not want their audience to be able to contact them easily. It's not even for us. It's for your audience members.
Right. And, so, you know, and there's a lot of ways that your audience could interact with you if they could find you.
Yeah.
You know, like an email address right on the site or a contact form if you don't want your email address on the site. Make sure you have social media links to your profiles, you know, your Facebook page, your Twitter profile, Insta, whatever. You know, and they've got services like SpeakPipe. I know on my website, I have a little SpeakPipe link says leave a voicemail. Somebody can just click on that. And if they've got a mic connected to their computer, they can leave me a voicemail. That's a cool way to do it.
Yeah. You know, I think though, if we think about it though, people don't necessarily like forms. So if you are trying to get your audience engagement, and you're basically making them go through multiple steps, then they're not going to comment. And what you should do is, this is, you know, this is a piece of cake. You just set up a, a throwaway Gmail account, but make sure you're checking it every day.
Right.
You know, it's the, you know, the problem is, and we've talked about this on the show before, is we've sent out emails before and they've just went into, you know, 3 weeks later, we get a response from someone. So, you know, make sure your audience can contact you from your website. Again, the social media links, email addresses. Not a lot of people are doing voicemails these days, but some people do. Like Mike said, use a SpeakPipe account. I don't think I've had one of those in a while, but it's a big part of the deal. And then there's also huge mistakes made in show notes, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, like when you have guests on your show. So if you follow us on this show, if we have a guest on that particular show, there's a section right there in the show notes that has all your guests' contact info, you know, whatever they want to share. But mostly it's, you know, social, website, that kind of thing. And, you know, that gives you a little bit of Google juice and gives them some Google juice. And, you know, it's just a good practice to get into. You know, make sure the audience can contact you. That's the main takeaway.
So the PC has recovered. So any of you using Mac say they never crash. You know, that's not true because mine just did. Let's talk a little bit about the Blueberry news here. So yesterday was an interesting day for me.
Yeah, it certainly was.
So for those of you who don't know, and probably many of you do, we don't advertise it on this show very often because it's not a Blueberry show. Myself and Rob Greenley, my co-host of the show that I do with him called The New Media Show, we had Adam Curry on yesterday for 90 minutes. So what was your takeaway, Mike? I know you saw some of it.
Yeah, I was popping in and out of, you know, it's work dictated, but yeah, it was interesting seeing him and again, and you know, I've seen him before, met him, you know, nice guy, but yeah, he was definitely a little more manic than I remember.
You know, and he was definitely, it was interesting because when I introduced him, said, Adam, you're in the shadows, because he was in a real dark room. Yeah. He doesn't like doing video. And every once in a while, he got real close to the camera. It was kind of interesting. And he was vaping during the show. So it was kind of fun. But I think we had a good conversation and we bounced around to a lot of different things. And so I think it was a good 90 minutes.
Yeah. And it probably should have an explicit tag on it. So just be aware of random F-bombs.
Yeah, it is there's a few places that is explicit, and there might even be some places in there where people will have a raised eyebrow or two, but that's the way Adam is. And, yeah.
It's the Podfather. Come on.
That's right. And for those of you who don't know, he does a show called No Agenda. So it's an interesting show in itself. All right. So tomorrow we're off. We're celebrating or actually honoring or respecting or whatever the word is here. The 4th of July holiday, which for workers is observed on the 3rd. So the staff is not going to be out. Everyone's going to have a nice 3-day weekend, we hope.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure, you know, we'll pop in every now and again to make sure the emails aren't blowing up too badly, but yeah, we're going to pretty much take tomorrow off.
So. That's right. I've got a big proposal due to a company that is actually due at 3 p.m. tomorrow, so I'm going to try to get it done today so I actually don't have to work tomorrow. So I got my fingers crossed on that. But hey, we opened the podcast, or I did, and just just a point of clarification here, the Podcast Awards is not a Blueberry project. It's not owned by Blueberry in any way. Blueberry allows me to, you know, well, it doesn't, I run the awards on my own time, but the Podcast Awards nominations are open. People's Choice Podcast Awards, 15th annual at podcastawards.com. Again, not affiliated with Blueberry directly, but it's something that I do. And so far, the response has been pretty good. Traffic's been pretty heavy. Now, it's not too late. If you're a podcaster and you haven't registered yet, the nomination period runs all the way through the month of July. So all it really takes for you to do is get registered and then promote promote to your audience to go nominate you for a couple of episodes. But don't dilly dally. It's now is the time to get in there and get registered if you're going to participate. Disclaimer, there is a $25 registration fee. That's how the awards are supported and maintained, and we pay for the trophies and all the stuff that goes along with maintaining the website, et cetera. So that's what's going on with the podcast awards.
And you and I are not eligible.
Yes, we're not eligible. And anybody that's on my Geek News Central site is not eligible. So yeah, I've got a whole, basically that's just kind of the way it has to be. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about WordPress. What's going on there? Because I see today's support stuff is mainly focused on WordPress.
Yeah, there just seems to be a lot of things going on. Not a lot of things going on, but people sometimes forget that if you're using PowerPress and on your WordPress site, that's where your podcast comes from. So you got to be really careful about what you do with that website. Changes can majorly change your podcast feed. So be sure to check with us. But one of the main things, I go to people's websites a lot, or I don't actually go to them, but I do, Zoom calls with them and we share screens and I'll get in there and there'll be 30 or 40 plugins, which in itself is a problem, but that are all needing an update. We're up to PowerPress 8.3.4, I think, right now. Yesterday I had somebody on PowerPress 6.
Wow.
I'm like, whoa, I didn't surprise that even runs. But anyway, so keep your stuff up to date.
What's the reason they're not updating?
They're just afraid that it's going to break something. And, most of the time updates won't break anything. Most plugin developers, WordPress itself, is very good about not breaking things.
So when you updated her to WordPress 8.3, was she shocked?
Oh, yeah, you shocked? Bet. it was like, wow, this is way different. Oh, that's cool. I had to show them where everything was. But
holy smoke. 6 has been, that's a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to show them some new features and things that have happened since then.
My goodness. So keep your WordPress, your number one, your install up to date.
Yes.
Number two, always update your plugins or read what the plugin update is, because sometimes there's new features or security issue related stuff.
Well, think about how hackers would think. If I want to hack a website and then I see a big update come out for a popular plugin or WordPress itself, I'm going to go back and see, well, what did they fix? And then I'm going to go look for sites that haven't been updated yet to exploit that problem that they fixed. And it's not like an emergency unless you might hear something. Sometimes there are 0-day flaws, but most of the time they're ahead of it. And so check your website every week or so, whenever you go into upload a podcast or something, maybe before you leave, check updates.
And another thing is, delete those plugins you're not using. Get rid of them. You can install them in 30 seconds again if you need them, but if you have turned that plugin off, Get rid of it. Delete it. It doesn't need to stay on there, because you can reinstall it at any time. So I think that's a good rule to follow as well. But this next topic, Mike, is probably the biggest.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens a lot. Somebody will hire a web designer to go in and design their website. And as we talked about last week, the designer will want to use a different platform than WordPress, which is its problem in itself. But if they're specifically working on your WordPress site, there's things they can do that can really mess up your feed. And, make sure that they know something about podcasting, and make sure that, if you're using PowerPress in the stock form, you're using posts. There's a thing out there called post types. Yes, we can do that, but you have to plan ahead. You can't just make the big switch and not think about your podcast. Everybody's pulling from your RSS feed from your website, which is a good thing, but it also takes a little responsibility. You're responsible for keeping that up and running.
So did the podcaster that recently did this, did they extinct their show?
No, no. It was a couple of settings. We can get that post type working. And that's what it was. The designer made a post type so that their podcasts and their blog posts are in a separate blog role, which I kind of try to talk people out of, but it is what it is. But it wasn't a huge deal, but think ahead a little bit and just make sure that the person you're hiring or the person you're letting into your website at least has some rudimentary knowledge about podcasting. And if you need, some advice, let us know.
So was that person kind of surprised or did it make sense to them after you talked to them?
Well, after I, after I explained what the problem was, the name post type is sort of unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because it's a little confusing because posts and then post types and all that.
Yeah, that's an advanced feature of WordPress.
Yeah, but we can make that work, but, figure that out ahead of time. If you're planning on making a major update, I'd be happy to, talk to you for a few minutes on the phone to tell you what to look out for.
So I guess the main thing here is keep your WordPress as clean as possible, uncluttered on the back end. And of course, the less plugins you have, typically the better it will run, especially ones that are enabled. Yep. Disabled plugins is better than an enabled plugin if you're not using that plugin.
Yeah, but like I said, sitting there with a bunch of plugins that are disabled just gives you a whole bunch more code sitting on the server that somebody could mess with. And then if you enable it, it might cause issues. So,
and sometimes plugins interact as well with other things on the website. So it could cause your site to slow down a little bit. So, I do a plugin audit quite often. Actually, it's a good reminder, Mike. I'm probably due to do one on my site as well, because I try load up plugins and try them and play with them and see what they do. And I look at how it affects the performance of the website, because that's really important to me. So, and I think it should be important to anyone running their own website as well. Their performance of their website is really a key factor that Google looks at in ranking your site. So, lean and mean is often much better than beautiful and exotic. I guess that's the best way to say it.
That's for sure. Like I said, simple is better sometimes.
All right. Well, this is going to wrap us up. It's going to get us down to the end here of the Podcast Insider, relatively short show today. We're going to start to probably introducing some shows that we have found on the Podcast Insider, being that we have basically got people really are not that interested in coming in and being interviewed, which is fine. So we're going to be promoting some podcasts that we find at Blueberry and that we think are good. And hopefully that will give you some insights and some shows to definitely check out and be walking that through with the team. And seeing what we can find for you. And it's not like there's many to choose from, Mike.
No, there's only, about a million?
Right. So anyway, we thank you for being here. If you have comments today, you can send it to Mike or I, Todd or Mike at blueberry.com. And if by chance you do want to be on the show, just drop us an email as well. We'll get you scheduled up with one of the team members for an interview if you so desire. Maybe. Other than that... Did I miss something, Mike?
No, I was going to say maybe we ought to think about having a live guest on the Facebook group.
Oh, that would be cool too. So, if I don't know if anybody's on that wants to jump on to, well, we're really not set up today to do it. But if you've been watching us live and would like to join us for part of the show, let us know, and we'd happy to have you. Have you on as well. You can join us live during the show. That would be even fun. That'd be fun as well.
Yeah, why not?
Yep. You can come in via Skype and join us right here while we're doing the podcast and interject your 2 cents worth. So anything before we blast, is that it?
No, I think we're good. Everybody have a good week. We'll be back next week. I believe I have an interview for next week.
So. Ah, awesome. All right. So, we'll be safe for the weekend and, enjoy the 4th of July and do whatever you do, burgers and dogs or, whatever you guys do for cookout. Or if you don't do that, then be careful. Take care, everyone. We'll see you next time here on the Podcast Insider. Take care. Bye-bye.